Rose Pricks would like to thank our newest Patreon subscribers, Kelly Eklund, Courtney Garn, Jenny Bergman, Hannah Tuber, Melanie, Kate Baria, Michelle McKibben, Jamie Butler, Monica Rodriguez, Lena Stickel, Kristen Salazar, Ashley Hahn, and Leslie Marmon. And a special business shout out goes to
Michelle McKibben, a California mortgage loan officer with People's Home Equity Mortgage. And you can call her at 707-208-8302 or email her at McKibben, McKibben@Michelle.Yahoo.com. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, use Michelle for all your loan needs. Let's keep it in the Pricks family, okay? Hello, welcome to Rose Pricks Women Tell All. I'm Ronnie Karam from Watch What Crappens and the Real Housewives of Audiobooks podcast on iTunes. And I'm with the gorgeous Stephanie Wilder Taylor. So rude.
Whatever.
I'm with Justin Taylor Thomas, you guys. Such an exciting day. Stephanie Wilder Taylor from For Crying Out Loud. Hello, Steph.
Hello. Hi.
Love it. This is our Women Tell All bonus episode. It's on our main podcast feed. Normally, to find our bonus episodes, go be a Patreon member, okay? Go to patreon.com/RosePricksPodcast, and you'll find us. If you ever need to find any of our links, just go to RosePricks.com. They're all there, our socials, etc. I don't want to waste a lot of time getting into this, because who likes to listen to that?
Yeah, really? Plus you guys have already listened. You already listened to the main podcast.
We're presuming.
Yeah. So you know what's going on.
Yeah. You know how you know it rolls, guys. Okay.
This came up right after the fantasy suites.
It's like I always tell that guy with one leg outside of Whole Foods, beg less. not beg, you know, just beg less. Okay. So Bachelor women tell all. Do they really tell all?
No, they just fight.
I feel like Nick got at least 5 blowjobs on this set. So if someone's going to tell all, tell me. Tell me who the hoe is who was banging Chris the whole time. I have a feeling it was the girl from Dallas.
Do we think somebody was?
Well, ever since I've watched that show Unreal, that's all I can think about Chris, is that he's always just coming fresh off a blowjob from some hoe who wants to get further in the show, you know?
Yeah. I think, though, Chris is getting less and less relevant as the series goes on. And I think he hates it.
Was he ever relevant, really?
Well, I think he was, you know, back when he was, when the show was newer and he was married. So he was more like, I'm just the guy. Now he seems almost like scummier, you know?
Yeah, like single
just
guys
the horny
at that
single
age.
Dude that's trying to like, that's the wingman, but still trying to like get a little pousse on the side.
Yeah, he sure is. Get, oh my God, when he goes to leftovers. Hang out with Nick to all those parties, I was like, oh, yeah. Welcome to Dick Patrol with Chris. Chris is like, okay, let's go to Studio City. Now let's go to the other part of Studio City. I'm like, oh my God, this guy really thinks he's going to get some pousse in Studio City.
Yeah. And he's like, come on, Nick, just one more. Just let's go to one more place. Nick's like, I'm tired. I already got a lot of pousse. And he's like, come on, one more.
Strip club karaoke. It's good. You know, believe it or not, they have really good hamburgers there. Like, no. You sad man. So this audience, my first thought is it Saturday night at the Abbey? Because I've never seen this many people wooing outside of that. It's like women of every different flavor. It was like that Dove commercial where all the different women were like, we're all women with blonde hair, whatever the hell that commercial was.
Right.
It was like that. And it was basically a whole wind tunnel of this. Wow! 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 I mean, girl, that was a lot of wooing.
Yeah, but you know what was even sadder, can I just say, was a lot of shots of the audience were like people there with their whole family. It's like, no, if you ever caught my husband, like with me at a Final Rose taping, that's probably the last day of our marriage. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, that's what happens
whose
when your
dad
stop,
is going you... with them to like, whose dad is in the audience of Women Tell All going, woo, yeah.
Wow, honey. I sure hope one of these women debases herself enough to get some guy to lie about loving them and get into a fake marriage to be on US Weekly. That's all I want for you, babe.
Let me put on this Make Corinne Great Again t-shirt. This is so great. Family time. Woo!
So let's see here. Chris is like, this season was the most tweeted about in history. Which I love that there's a history for that.
Yeah.
And then they cut to Corinne in the back putting on her makeup. And then there was a laugh track for the Platinum Vagine line. I like that they use sitcom laugh tracks in these After the Rose or whatever the hell this is called. The women squawk. The women squawk about everything. They're like, ha, 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 ha. It's an episode of Friends.
This is just all a bunch of women auditioning for Bachelor in Paradise is all it is.
Yes.
A
and
bunch of thirsty hoes.
And
sorry.
Some came out way ahead of the others. I mean, these women really, some of them, I don't remember them at all from their season. And they were like, I will be fucking someone in Mexico for free for 2 weeks. I don't care what I have to do.
Yeah. This is just a macro note, but that Lacey was like, how many episodes were you even on? Nobody knows who you are. And she was the first one to speak constantly.
Which one was Lacey now? The little one?
The very first one when he said something about to the women when he first opened the show. She was the first one to talk.
Oh, I wrote down who dat. So yeah. Is that the little one? The little spunky one? He's like, well, rah, rah, rah. There was one little spunky girl. We'll get to her, I guess. But she kept trying to like have a monologue about everything. And
yes.
I don't even remember her or know why she was here at all. And then there was that girl from Dallas who I didn't remember either. And I think she's the one who's giving Chris blowjobs.
Yeah.
Because it kept showing her in close up for no reason, giving dirty looks to the camera. She's like, I'm mad right now. I don't know why, but I am. And I will be on The Bachelor.
Yep.
So I think she's a slut. And she had like feathered hair now and like weird lipstick. Okay, let's talk about Josephine Cat Lady's goth look.
Oh, God. So John comes around the corner and I swear to God, he wasn't joking. He was like, what? What is that? And I go, that's somebody's idea of like just some goth lipstick. She looked like a blonde Elvira.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you do when you don't really want a relationship. One, cats. Because I know that cats give you a lot of love and stuff, but those are polarizing. So if you have that in your house, you really don't want someone to spend the night.
Right.
B, going goth. Now, sorry, but being the whole look of going goth, it's not that it's an ugly look. It's just a look that says, fuck you. I don't give a fuck what you think, which is what it's supposed to do. That's the whole point of the look. But
yeah,
that's a lot of don't fuck me's in her personality already.
But also, if you're going to go goth, you got to go goth. Like, you have to have black hair.
Yeah,
you have to look dark. You can't look like a cat lady who's just wearing black lipstick.
Yeah, you can't just come in here looking like you've been sucking on an exhaust pipe. Right? It just looks weird. We're worried about you, cat lady. Come back.
Exactly.
And she was all defensive the whole time over Corinne. She's like Corinne's cat lady protector, which was amazing. So Chris's new thing, you know, that they're so excited, besides core values, is we all just saw Rachel and she's going to join me. And everyone's like, oh, my God. And I just wrote down, there are so many shades of Laura Dern in this audience.
Oh, my
like,
God.
So many different people who look like Laura Dern at different times in her life.
Oh, that is funny.
So they go on the bus tour to the bachelor parties.
Yes.
Which we kind of already talked about. Some of these people, they have framed pictures of Nick all over the place. And it's like entire families with entire couches full of 5-year-olds. It's weird.
Really weird. With that they're all themed out, cupcake themes. And so I was remembering, and I brought this up on one of our shows, that my friend, I have a friend who I don't know, saw not too long ago at Super Bowl party, who was like, oh my God, this is like the craziest thing. She said, my friend has like bachelor parties, bachelor viewing parties, and Nick showed up at one. And I just kept asking, like, well, I don't understand, like, why? And she's like, well, he kind of knew somebody that at the party, so he just dropped by and everybody was like freaking out. But it must have been obviously now it makes sense.
Oh, so she was keeping it secret because of her NDA contract?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those pre-planned things.
I like the house where he showed up and there was one gay guy there. And he comes in and the gay guy just goes, wow!
I know. That was so good.
That made my life. So then he walks into a stoner party that turns out to be the Backstreet Boys. And they're watching, they're pretending that they're watching the show. And they're like, cheers to emotional intelligence, whatever that is. I was like, you poor guys. And then they started like riffing on an emotional intelligence song. And I was like, emotional intelligence does not squeak that much off key. Please be quiet, Backstreet Boys. No one asked for you.
Oh my God. I just love all the cross promotion for things on these shows.
Ooh,
yeah, we get it. The Backstreet Boys are trying to go on a tour. Oh my God. Okay. So then they go to a sorority house, which was my favorite.
Well, you know, I love the sound of a good woo, 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 which was another room of wooing girls.
Yes.
Freaking out.
The wooing drunk chicks.
Yeah. And one girl's like, I've been watching this show since I was a child.
Yeah, which made me feel especially bad for the fact that my kids were all watching it with me.
They were.
Is this what I'm asking for?
Yeah, I'm paying $100,000 a year for you to be little whores in your college. So they were like, shirt, shirt, shirt. They were really sexually abusing him, which I liked. But I think it was the only one that he and Chris both had boners in.
Yeah.
So congrats. The next segment is, how many Corinnes does it take to open a champagne bottle? It was like a 5-minute scene of Corinne trying to get champagne open. She's like,
yeah,
I can't get it open. It's not working. Oh my God. Is this a trick? Come on. I can't do it.
Yeah. But then she's the first one to be complaining about the fact that people call her dumb.
Well, at least she admitted that she's not the sharpest crayon in a box.
Yeah, later, after she was really angry that Taylor said, you're not somebody I would be friends with off the show because you're not that smart.
I didn't understand why she was so mad about that. I like that Taylor kept trying to reword that. I know. And Taylor kept trying to reword it. She's like, that's not what I meant. I meant that you're stupid and I wouldn't hang out with you. I'm like, that's what she's saying. So we see all the girls, the dolphin. There's like a lesbian in the audience in love with dolphin girl. So she's wearing a shark costume or something. Blah, blah, blah. Fast forward. So then we get a Corinne segment. And we get all of Corinne's greatest hits. And then we get some Kristen with a Kristen talk show. Hi, I'm Kristen. What did you feel when you fucked that guy at a wedding? Did you feel good? Did it make you feel good inside? I'm so jealous. Okay, tell me everything. Where did he touch you? What was it like? What's his favorite colors? What size underwear does he wear? Some guys wear them too small. Isn't that crazy? I read about it in 17.
Wait, so you've gone straight to Elizalas.
This is just a clip thing, but I just love the, seeing Kristen, Big Mouth Kristen, when Liza Liz is telling her all that stuff, and she's like,
yes,
I won't tell anybody, girl, tell me more. I'm gonna have a Tupperware party called Eliza Liz did something really fucked up, but not gonna tell you what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I wrote notes for every little thing. So let me just go through. My main note from in this is that Mousy Nurse, she looked extremely pissed off the whole time. And I'm glad that she didn't get anything because she always looked tired, but she didn't look angry. Now she just looks super angry. And I was like, oh, girl, Mousy Nurse is going to yell at somebody.
Yeah, it was weird that she wasn't in the hot seat because she made it pretty far.
Yeah, she made it far, and she was super mad, and she also kept choosing the anti-Corinne side. Like, she really came ready to slaughter Corinne with the rest of the girls. Like, that little pack of girls was going to mean girl Corinne, and man, did they fall on their face. It was so good.
Yeah. So, she had her people that love her.
Yeah, so basically, blah, blah, blah. Let's get to the Corinne segment. So this is the first big segment. It's the Corinne segment. So we see everyone loves Corinne. They start wooing for Corinne, which was nice. I'd like to see that because I love her too. And Chris is like, so when did the drama start? And then he's asking all the girls first, like, when did it start with Corinne? And that girl with the huge face girl with the hippo, hungry hippo opening mouth is like, well, I mean, no disrespect to Corinne, but it was the first day she took a nap because, like, she totally alienated herself. And then Lacey's like, yeah, like, I think that she wasn't even taking off her top to be mean to us. She was just trying to get Nick. Like, she was just trying to win, guys. And then Corinne goes, yeah. And did anyone notice Britt with her top off the whole day? Why doesn't anyone care about that? Corinne came ready to fight.
Yeah. But I'm confused just a little bit because did we skip the part about the, about Elizalyz?
We haven't gotten there yet. So I think this must be the part where they're group talking about Corinne. So this is not the Corinne interview. It's just when Chris brings up Corinne, as he does 10 times in this thing. But they show Corinne clips, and then they all go in on Corinne. And Jasmine's like, yeah, but you're telling America, I'm the girl who's going to take a nap. Like, Abraham Lincoln took a nap. I mean, that's just disrespectful. I was like, to who? Was Abraham Lincoln being disrespectful? Was Corinne being disrespectful to Abraham Lincoln? Was Abraham Lincoln disrespectful of you, Jasmine? Because you know that's what she's really mad at.
Right, right.
Crazy-ass Jasmine.
So, wait. So this is when Corinne's in the hot seat.
No, she's not in the hot seat yet. Chris is just asking them questions about Corinne. And so all the girls are trying to go in. Massey Brunette's like, well, okay, I wasn't there on that day, but first problem I had with Corinne is when you said nanny. I mean, for me, I was like, this person is not ready for a relationship. I was like, listen, the person who's ready to be pregnant and get married is the person with the nanny. If that's not preparation, I don't know what is.
Yes. Okay, I think the reason I was getting confused is because we revisit all this. This is like just the first time we talk about it, and then every single time we have a segment, it's like they ran out of stuff for these people.
Yeah, because it was a lot of Corinne.
That thing over and over and over. Yeah. Then it's when it's Corinne and Taylor. Then it's when it's Corinne just on the hot seat by herself. It's really constant.
So this is just the women one by one getting to say what they hate or love about Corinne. But most of them hate her. And Cat Lady Goth is like, you guys, who are we to judge a person's sexuality, huh? And then some random girl, I think this is the Dallas girl, she's like, look, I'm all for unleashing your inner Khaleesi, but you're like a sloppy, you know, what'd she call her? She's like, you're a sloppy minestrone.
She calls her a slob kebab.
You're a slob kebab right now. It's like, slob kebab? Kebabs are like the least sloppy food I've ever heard of. Could you come up with, I mean, even Sloppy Joe, that's easier and it's sloppy. A kebab. She's like, you're perfectly cut chunks of meat on a stick. With the napkin around the skewer.
Yeah.
My dad. Like, that's not sloppy, stupid Dallas. You're
a wonderful street food.
Stupid Dallas. She's like, if it rhymes, if it sounds like a fun saying, I'm just going to say it. I don't care if it makes sense. So Lacey, Mousy Girl, Corinne, blah, 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 Rando Girl again. And then the nurse goes, Taylor. Oh, the rando again, Dallas, is like, I mean, Taylor is a great psychologist, and she helps those people. And the difference is that between you and her, she helps him and doesn't judge him and put him down. And, she was telling off Taylor and saying, a great psychologist should help whores and not put them down and judge them. And everyone applauded her because everyone hates Taylors. And then the mousy nurse goes, Taylor has a master's, okay? She has a master's degree. And then Dallas is like, a master's in bullying? Huh? What's that certificate look like, sloppy kebabby? Stupid. And then Taylor's like, yeah, well, there's a teacher here too. So should she not be able to work with kids anymore because she gave Corinne feedback? And they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And all the women start squawking at once.
Yep.
So now is the Liz segment because they started getting into horse shaming because they were kind of horse shaming Corinne. And now the question is horse shaming correct or incorrect, guys? So let's bring out our favorite shamed whore, Liz.
Yes. So Liz comes out and they show all the past scenes of her talking about like, yeah, I was like really drunk at Jada Tatter's wedding. I was at their wedding and basically I just got so drunk and I had sex. And then it's just her telling different people that and the camera
Well,
with that big smile on her face. Yeah,
yeah,
I
had
had
we seen all
sex with
that
them.
footage of her and Nick at the wedding? I don't remember that.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
We had.
remember like that they had a perfectly shot scene of them at the wedding. Doesn't feel staged at all, guys. So, I've noticed that Liz has had some kind of surgery, but she made herself
Right?
look sadder. Isn't that weird?
It is. I noticed that too.
She's like, make all of my features point downwards. Like put new like eye sockets in, but make them point down. It's weird.
So weird.
So Big Mouth
Very
Kristen was my
disconcerting.
favorite part of all of that. So Chris starts grilling her, and he's like, "So did you think that Nick wouldn't recognize you? Like no one really got that when you showed up, and you thought he wasn't gonna recognize you?" And Liz is like, "Well, I mean, like, it's been a year, so I viewed it like more as a clean start."
It was
Okay.
so weird.
So you think he had a stroke? Like, how would he forget just because you want a clean start? She's like, "Well, like, I mean, why would he remember me? I mean, I'm sure he's fucked girls at every wedding he's ever gone to. What is he gonna remember all of them?" And then I was like, "Oh my God, I feel so bad for this hoe, 'cause she's just used to like being used and fucked by dudes, and then they don't recognize her, you know?"
Yep. Then she starts trying to like bring on kind of excuses, right? She's like, "Well, the thing is, like I really cared about somebody else, so that's why I fucked him because of the somebody else. Because I was really like thinking about somebody else. But then I wanted to come on the show because then I was like really over the other person. So then I wanted a clean st was like, "What are you talking about?" Makes no sense.
I love that. Sorry about my dog. I've ordered so many things off Amazon. That dog might be barking literally through every podcast today. Please be quiet. So I like that the girls all got to get in there, and all the girls we'd ever heard from had so much to say. Like Massey Brunette Whitney. She's like, "I have a question. Why didn't you reach out to him? Like, you had 6 months to reach out to him." I was like, "Why are you so mad?"
I know.
And she's like, "Well, you know, he's busy. I mean, I did try to cross paths with him." It's like, what does that mean? Were you going to his Starbucks? Were you liking things on his friends' pages? Like, what were you
Right.
doing that you were putting? It's so weird. It's such a weird answer. And then
know.
Kristen's like, Big Mouth Talk Show Kristen is like, "Well, here's what I think. You really wanted Nick to say, 'Listen, girl, I want to get to know you,' and to make an effort, you know, because he could have called you too, and he didn't make that effort. It's like he didn't want to know you." And I think that that's absolutely correct. I think that she probably was like, "Well, he can call me. He can make an effort. Just because I didn't give him my number doesn't mean he can't still chase me, you know?"
Right.
But I just like that Kristen's so wise. That girl's read a lot of emotional intelligence books.
Yes. But then the best part I thought of possibly the whole 2 hours was right here, where they turned her the whole slut fest and her being like, "I was drunk and I fucked them and then I just didn't know what was gonna happen." Then Haley is like, "You know what? A lot of people know you as like just this girl that, you know, like had drunk sex with Nick. Like the world, pretty much the entire world, like everyone in the entire world on the planet just knows you as a girl who had sex with Nick. But I know you as a girl who like has dug wells for poor people."
Oh, I thought she was sick because Haley's the girl who builds orphanages. So I took that differently. I thought she was saying, "You're just known as that girl who went home to fuck Nick, and I get it. Like your reputation is everything. Like I'm known as a girl who goes to Africa and builds orphanages for orphans and
No,
digs wells."
I think they both have. So
Oh, I
she
thought,
was
what a
like,
dick move. Oh my God. Okay, I'm
"Oh
glad you
no,
said that.
I think she was like, I think you're awesome, girl. Like I know so many great things about you. Like people, yeah, sure, that's all they might remember you for. but I know better. I know like that you're this great person who's like into causes. Then they yeah. basically
She's like,
turn...
you've given blowjobs to a lot of poor, ugly people, you know? I mean, where did the appreciation for charity go? Right, guys?
But then they turn this whole thing, they turn the whole like drunk ho fest into a self-empowerment seminar.
Yes.
Right?
Then it became then about, like, then it was like the slut shame seminar. Yeah.
It was like, you know what? Like, no matter your size, your sexual history, your blood alcohol level, you deserve love.
I mean, okay? Even with that massive mahjong board on your back, you deserve love. Okay. So you got some sad facial surgery and some falsies that don't fit. So your dress is a little too chunky and you're wearing, you know, your legs are showing too much on your thighs. Who cares? You deserve. So you have no education, no hopes for a job. You have nothing going for you. You still deserve love. I was like, wait a second.
You should be able to get drunk and have sex with as many people as you want. That doesn't make you less worthy. It's like, oh yeah, okay. But like, know where you are. You're at the Bachelor Women Tell All. Like, come on.
Well, here's my ish with Liz, okay? I believe that. I believe everybody deserves love. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, everybody believes that. I believe everybody deserves love. But we're not, because she mentioned a lot of things in that. She's like, it doesn't matter your size, your age. I'm like, okay, so you feel old and fat? No one's, that's not the issue, Liz, okay? She tells a story to Chris. She's like, when I first left the show, it was really hard on me because I'm a small town girl from Nebraska. And when I went home, you know, basically everyone just thought I was a whore. And Chris goes, well, what did you learn? Did you learn anything from this? And she's like, I learned to stay true to myself. I was like, but that's what got you into this.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not about like having sex. It's like about her whole persona in the thing was like, I don't care. I didn't feel like anybody was slut shaming her. I just felt like it's like, we get it enough. Like, how many times did she have to announce like that she was drunk and had sex with him?
Well, that girl used her sex.
Like, so, that was her calling card.
So she boned Nick. Yeah, she boned Nick and then tried to use that in a gross way.
Yes,
and everything
that's what
she
I'm saying.
Talked about it was like, I bone Nick. And now
yes.
She's acting like people are slut shaming her, but no one did. She was literally acting like a hoe on the show.
That's what I'm
using it. Yeah, I'm agreeing.
That's exactly 100%. You get it, my point.
So like, I can't feel for her. I don't mind if a girl's a hoe, but I just don't like when she's like using her sexuality in a certain way and then being like, how dare you act like I'm just using my sexuality to get love from people because I have nothing else going for me. It's like, but that is what it is. So,
wait,
you know, you deserve actual love. Like, how about you deserve actual love where it doesn't have to involve your vagina in some way? You know, that's like a normal insecurity that pretty girls go through. Like, only people only want them for their looks or their sex or whatever.
Right.
And I'm sure that that's difficult. But when you're putting yourself out there as that kind of product, you can't be mad. It's like a ShamWow can't get mad at you for cleaning up spills with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you bought it.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, if she came on there saying, like, I have a secret. Day one on the show, she was like, yeah, I had sex with Nick.
Yeah.
Like that, like as if that was giving, that gave her a leg up, so to speak.
Speaking of legs up, Taylor, just kidding. So the girls are all still being really overdramatic and girls are like yelling about things. I've never seen them. And then they cut to Dallas girl again, who's just giving really dirty looks to the camera for no reason. I don't know what is going on with this chick, but I'm loving it. So now we move on to Taylor.
Yes, Taylor versus Corinne.
Oh my God. So
Taylor v. Corinne.
It was so awkward. So these scenes of Taylor in the beginning, she's like, well, Nick says he wants someone intellectually stimulating, and that's me. So hopefully his heart's coming to me, because
me and my
he
big
loves my brain.
Brain.
Yeah, he's going to stick it in my brain. Yeah, he wants to put it in there. Yeah. Adulum obligatum, guys.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable.
Awkward. Then we get clips of the emotional intelligence fight with Corinne. I've been a million, multi-million dollar company, Taylor. Then the swamp stuff where she was left in the swamp, which was as rewarding the second time around as it was the first.
Yeah.
Cat Lady hates Taylor so much. Cat Lady is up there giving her goth lipstick look to Taylor. And then we get Corinne's famous, cats have 9 lives and bitches have 2. So who's stupid now, Taylor? Who's stupid now?
Yeah. Then we get Taylor with her probably now trademarked. Corinne thinks she's so smart, but like, does Nick want like a girl with a degree in mental health counseling from John Hopkins University? Or does he want a girl who puts whipped cream on her boobs? Because in case you didn't know, I have a degree in mental health counseling from Johns Hopkins.
She kept saying he and I improperly. It was making me crazy. I'm like, please stop talking about your master's degree when you don't know basic grammar yet. Baby steps. And that comes from a movie about psychology. So there you go. Baby steps. So Chris, what about Bob, for those of you wondering? So Chris asks her, so emotional intelligence, huh? Emotional intelligence, what about that? And she's like, but what I meant was her ability to regulate her emotions and empathize and pick up on other people's feelings in the house. And then she tells Corinne, you didn't think about the impact of the impact that your words would impact other people in their he and I lives. So there, impact.
And then what I loved about that was just every girl just goes crazy. They're just like, shut up. You're dumb.
And Corinne just staying totally calm. She's like, I never spoke a word to you, Taylor, until you acted horrible to me. Horrible. This is like pulling teeth, you guys. And the dentist is like, hey. She's like, sorry, not you. So Taylor is, she's like, I was just trying to be careful with my words. And someone yells, bullshit. Someone tells her off, but I didn't hear who it was. And the audience is like, ooh.
I think it was Lacey.
And then still Jasmine's trying to get her like, screen whatever, time. Taylor, you would act better than everybody in the house. And Corinne's like, yeah, like I would say good morning. And like, you would just give me this look like. And then Taylor's like, impact though, your feelings of impact on my life. And so Corinne walks out and nobody even cares. They're just like, bye. And Chris is like, well, I've watched you during that clip segment and you're very emotional, Taylor. And she's like, it's overwhelming. And then Corinne returns with a glass of champers and the audience goes crazy clapping for her. And Taylor starts crying because they're clapping for Corinne.
Yeah.
That was so good.
It was. Did you get the feeling that that Taylor thought that when she went on the show that everybody hated Corinne? Or do you think she knew that
classic
at that point?
Classic reality show. I mean, it happens on Housewives all the time where someone is going against someone thinking they're going to be the fan favorite and it's just not working out for them and they look like the biggest villain of the year, you know? And totally happened. And so then she starts the victim route, which no one's going to fall for. So she's like, look, like, things that I've struggled with since leaving this show is, like, people are shaming me for being a counselor. And people should try and help people who are in the mental health industry. And they should not shame them. Like, I should not be shamed for being a mental health impact counselor, a direct impact on my life. Okay. And Corinne's like, you said you couldn't be my friend because I'm stupid. She's like, no, I didn't. I just said I couldn't be your friend because you're stupid. And stop shaming.
It's just been really hard for me because of the things like she said about me, like on television, because like, I didn't know that I was on television like during this time. Like I knew it was like, people called it like a show or whatever, but I didn't know what that meant because I was like too busy studying like at my university because I have a degree in mental health counseling. So
I guess you're all going to boo me for because everyone hates mental health counselors. We are a marginalized group. Okay. Mental health counselors' lives matter too. Okay. It's like, no, you are not marginalized for being a counselor. And I don't like that she blames Corinne for saying that she's terrible. People are not taking you seriously as a mental health counselor. First of all, because you have a chalkboard on your door, which is really bizarre. And that was all you before the show. And second, because of how you acted on the show, it's not what Corinne said. It's how you dealt with it. You dealt with it terribly. Then you turned into a witch in a swamp. And then you like flew back and were even bad at being a villain. Like, you suck, okay? You suck. And if people think you're a shitty mental health counselor, it's because of your actions, young lady.
Exactly.
Shame.
Well said.
Shame. Shame.
But, so, I don't know if we really even, if she really even got any closure.
No, because everyone was booing her. And then Cat Lady Goth was like, yeah, shut up, Taylor. You're not a goddamn counselor. It's like drunk mom back there. And she's like, just stop, Cat Lady. Just stop. Stop shaming me. It was hilarious.
But Jasmine didn't know who to hate on. Jasmine, the NBA basketball player who was crazy, who was like, I'm going to choke him out.
Yeah, crazy.
I'm going to just take Nick and just choke him out. Because first she was going off on her about the naps, but then she was going off on Corinne, but then she was going off on Taylor. She was like, you snobby.
Yeah. I loved the nap fight.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Yeah. Corinne's like, well, everyone takes naps. Hey, Taylor, you want to talk about the part where you took naps? Okay. Taking naps is like pooping. Everybody does it. There's a book about it. There's a book about it.
Yeah. Well, because Chris is like, so you know how you were taking all those naps, but then you said that Michael Jordan and Abraham Lincoln took a lot of naps? He's like, was that information you got from like a history book, or is that well known? Did you Google that? She's like, whatever.
Everyone naps.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't have to Google it to know that people nap. Like, people nap, okay? Like, I think it's like pretty obvious that Michael Jordan naps.
God. And then Huge Face got on her again because she's like, well, what people don't know is that that day it wasn't a nap. It wasn't even a nap that I was taking. It's that it was right before rose ceremony and I was having an anxiety attack, okay? And like, I just couldn't. And like, Taylor was there and saw me hyperventilating and she should know, as a mental health whatever, that I needed to lay down. So I did not take a nap. I laid down while I was freaking out, which is such a lie because was laying there drunkenly with a smile on her face and her rose on her pillow. So I'm so sure.
Yeah.
And then Huge Face is like, all hyperventilating and crying, but we went anyway.
Yeah. But by the way, don't you think that if she had actually had an anxiety attack, that would have been the biggest drama.
Yeah. She's just,
they would have played that for all it was worth.
Yeah. They would have
called an ambulance, and then they would have shown that, like, oh my God, what's happened? What's going on with Corinne? Is she okay? Like, they would have played that for all it's worth.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have showed her having a nap.
Even Mousy, or not Mousy, even the sad giraffe lady got a line in this one. She's like, because Corinne says, I never did anything bad, it's about anything vicious about anyone here. And then the audience laughed. And the giraffe is like, are we watching the same show? You called her a bitch and her a swamp monster. And she's like, yeah, but that was after they did things to me. And Jasmine's like, we all call each other bitches. What's the big deal? And she gets kind of a boo. Which I was like, I love this audience. They're like, no for slut shaming or calling each other bitches. It's like, you're taking all the fun out of being a girl.
Jasmine's like, I want to choke out this entire audience. I want to choke you. Hey, you. I'm going to choke you. I'm going to choke you. I'm going to choke all of you. You're all bitches. They need to get choked.
Well, this finally.
Chris is like calling the police. He's like, we got a girl who wants to choke everybody out. She's like, that's how I show love. I choke you out. I love this audience.
This nap segment was like half an hour and it finally ended because Corinne was like, you guys, whatever. I'm sorry I take naps. I was fucking tired. I'm tired. And then everyone just applauds her. Like, only Corinne would get away with that. Yelling, I'm tired. And then everybody applauds her and it's over.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, well, how about the Raquel stuff?
Who's that?
When Corinne's asked about Raquel.
Oh, the nanny stuff. Yeah.
I mean, that was such bullshit too. It was crazy. Which she's like, okay, you guys, this is going to have to stop here because it's not about me having a nanny. It's about me wanting to respect her and not call her a housekeeper.
Yeah, I'm not going to call Raquel a maid. So I'm sorry that I respect the woman who was there for me when my mom had cancer. Did I say cancer? Yes, I did. And Raquel was there. And everyone gets cheese pasta. They God. Like some caterer came out and gave everybody some frozen Weight Watchers or whatever. Taylor was.
I eat mac and cheese.
Taylor was furious. She asked for an apology like 10 times, and Corinne basically said no every single time. And then she's like, "I'm not one to hold grudges," and everybody laughed because that's a lie. And she's like, "Well, yeah, like right now it's a grudge because I felt attacked for no reason and my heart was hurt. And you said you won't be my friend because I'm stupid." And Taylor's like, "Okay, I'm sorry that I said I wouldn't be friends with you outside of the house. I'm sorry." And then Jasmine goes, "Woohoo, enough of that. It's over." And I'm like, "Yes." And Corinne still never said sorry.
Yeah.
And she stood up for nannies.
Yeah. I just thought that was so dumb. It's like, yes, we all love Raquel. She's great, but please don't try to turn it into now like, my mom had cancer and she was the only one who took care of me. She was the one who was saying, I need my nanny to make me my cucumber salad.
I'm not going to call her a maid. I'm not going to call my maid a maid. Okay. That is totally
maybe, rude. Maybe you guys want to call her a maid or a cleaning lady. Like, maybe that's where you guys are. But that's not the kind of person I am. I'm just a little better.
You know, Raquel's like cutting her inner thighs watching this because Corinne inadvertently called her a maid, I think, 20 times.
I know. I know.
She's like, oh, stupid bitch. So close up on Taylor not eating, because this segment ends with everybody eating their mac and cheese and Taylor's just giving it a dirty look and holding it. So now let's move on to the snack orphan.
Christina.
Russian dental assistant Christina. Now this storyline
of
a girl getting sent to an orphanage because she snacked in the daytime. I mean, girl, it's my favorite storyline ever.
Come on, but you know that's going to be on an Oprah commercial. I eat lipstick! Love it.
I eat lipstick!
Oh my God.
Cool Dorito Ranch lipstick flavor. So Chris is like, why are you sobbing? Because they showed a clip where she's like, oh, I had a snack pack. I lost my family. So she tells her story again, and Chris is like, why are you sobbing? And she's like, I don't let people in. I don't let people in. And he's like, well, is it because being vulnerable wasn't allowed in the orphanage? And she's like, yes, I built a wall. She's like, oh, God. You can act like you're some, like, in trouble for eating a fingernail when you were five, girl, all you want. But you are obviously polished enough to learn every word on this show that you need to say to get cast.
Exactly.
Not buying it, Russian dental assistant.
Yep.
So he's like, you said something so beautiful and profound that there your life was in black and white and here your life is in color. She's like, well, this is why I said that, because a teacher told me that. Chris can't even get the quote right. She's like, a teacher told me. So then she went into her, where I'm from at 16, you either become a whore or you move to America to become a whore. I mean, Russia, whores don't get anything. They'll just get, like, little bits of junk that someone wanted to throw away. Like, thanks for the blowjob. Here's an old Xbox. Or, like, thanks for the blowjob. Here's an old cleaned-out sardine can that's good to keep change in, you know? It's like, I can't make a job like that. How am I supposed to build a savings portfolio? I came to sell my pussy in America, like everybody on the Mayflower. And he's like, that is so sweet.
Here's an old sardine skin.
When I bought these paper towels, I didn't realize they already had cleaning product on them. And almost choked myself wiping my face after I ate a Dorito. So thank you for the anal. Here are these paper towels.
Oh my God.
Well, I will not eat them in the daytime, I'll tell you that much.
So then Chris is like, okay, so, you know, he asks, they show all this stuff about her saying it, and then she says, yeah, then she tells the thing about the black and white to color again. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she's like a robot. She's just repeating. Like, well,
we just heard that.
Yeah, she's an odd little robot. She's come up with something, and she's just going to repeat it over and over again. Because whenever he cues her, he's like, remember Black and White and Color? She's like, yes, a teacher from a time I was an orphan in the black. She just starts going through the same repeated spiel.
Yeah. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, it's like one of the robots on Westworld.
Yeah. And then everybody's like, girl, you're going to be changing lives. You're amazing. You are so amazing. Oh my God, Chris Ada, we want out.
I like when he said, you're the American dream. You know, this is seen all over the world. She goes, I know, I got a collect call from a jerk-off booth at a video store in Russia where my brothers and sisters were working in black and white. And he's like, oh, you poor thing.
And then Chris is like, I don't think you're done here. You're going to be changing lives in Bachelor in Paradise. Woo!
Oh, my God. If I have to hear that story, she'll be like, no, I will not eat a taco in the daytime. Little bartender man. So she gets a standing O for vulnerability.
Yep.
And now it's Nick.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's Carol Channing, everybody. Our bachelor, Nick. So he gets a standing O for some reason.
Yeah. And so he comes out. Sorry to interrupt you, but this is where. So the first person who speaks, which is what I'm talking about, these bitches are thirsty, is Lacey. For no reason. He's like, okay, who wants to talk to Nick? And she's like, I do. It's like, but nobody even knows who you are.
But and she just brings it in. Like, she just, like, starts talking, doesn't she? Oh, no, that's someone later. So
no,
she's like,
her.
Yeah. And he's like, who are you again? What season are you from?
Yeah. She's like, Nick, I want to know why when we spent time together, you talked about Josephine. Was that friend-zoned?
Yeah,
nobody,
it was weird.
Even remembers you being on the show.
Yeah. When I had 5 minutes with you and then you spent that time talking about the cat lady. Like, thanks a lot. That made me feel really special. And he's like, well, when there's 30 girls, I got to ask you each how the others are because you're so fake when I see you, you know. And she's like, well, look, here's some advice. This is the little feisty one. She's like,
yes.
Here's some advice. Don't talk to one of your kind of girlfriends and about another kind of girlfriend while you're talking to the one kind of girlfriend. And he goes, unless you're not really feeling it with that kind of girlfriend.
Yeah.
You don't care what she thinks. And that was his first, like, snarky, dickish move. But I liked it. The audience
didn't. I liked
it,
too. But you could tell that he, like, was that was his real personality coming out.
Yeah. He's like, I wasn't even into you. Why would I sit there and ask about you, stupid?
Right. But you know that she was just like, I don't really care. I want to be a Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. So then Chris asked about, she's not going to.
She shouldn't have taken it personally.
That girl's not
going
to be on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, I know.
No offense.
But she was really trying to make her mark
on
the show. So Nick should have just been like, all right, I get it. You want to be on Bachelor in Paradise? You a hoe.
Yeah, at the end, let's guess who's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise. Because I think we'll do good guesses. So he's asked about Corinne, and he's like, do you think she was just misunderstood? And he said, well, you know, you underestimate Corinne, and then she surprises you, and she took initiative and risks, and I like someone who goes out of their way for me. Like, ugh, you are so gross.
So gross.
So they talk about dental assistants.
And Corinne's like, thank you.
Nick, I just want to say thank you. Like, our time was very special to me, and I hope you enjoy your $3,000 jogging suit. You can keep it. You can keep it.
So Chris is like, the toughest part was the dental assistant. And Nick's like, hi, Christina. And she's like crying. She's a bundle of sobby nerves.
Right.
And he's like, well, I would always tell her, like, she melted my heart. But we had a fun relationship. But once I knew that in my heart it was time to say goodbye, I knew it was right to say goodbye. Because my heart is not a grilled cheese sandwich. It doesn't need to be melted. It's a heart. It needs to keep pumping. So.
And she's like, didn't we have intellectual conversations? I'm doing a terrible Russian accent. Nyet. Did we not have intellectual conversations?
And she's like,
is this about Vladimir Putin?
Putin on a horse without a shirt is hotter than you were towards the end. Okay, what do you want me to say to you right now? Just tell me what you want me to say. I like when she did that. She's like, here are the questions. Did we have chemistry? And he's like, yeah. Did we have fun? Yeah. Did we have intelligent conversation? Yeah. What was missing? I don't want to fuck you.
Like, what the hell? What do I have to say? And she's like, you said that the hometowns and fantasy suites could change everything. So I was shocked I was sent home. He's like, you don't have a hometown. What, were we supposed to build you a hometown to go visit? I mean, this show only has so much budget, Dental.
He's like, I have no recipes for lipstick. I just don't even know what to do with that. She's like, I don't eat lipstick when I have other choices.
It's like, what, was I supposed to go back to your room rental? I mean, what the hell? Was I going to get approval from your landlady? I mean, come on.
He's like, have you seen the show? God, this shit might fly on Bachelor in Paradise, but not here. Yeah. Okay.
And then it's dumb nail chick's turn. She's like,
we had a great connection. You said you saw yourself getting engaged to me more than like anybody else. And then you sent me home.
What happened? That really hurt my feelings.
Nick is just...
It really hurt my feelings. It's just like, it's not fair because everybody saw like how great we got along. Like you said.
No, we didn't. You're going to marry me and then you didn't marry me.
And she's like crying way too hard. And Nick is just looking at her like, I have so many things better that I could be doing right now. And then he gives her his mayor answer where he's like, I'm very sorry. You were someone on that night one. He says that to everybody, by the way.
Yep.
Night one. Wow. You were so exciting. And I was excited about the potentials. But between one-on-one and two-on-one, there were relationships for me that surpassed ours on the track. They just, you know, one inch ahead of you. I was like, stop talking like it's that. Stop talking like it's sports. It's so uncomfortable. This girl's sobbing. Just say, I like you. Your boobs are slightly uneven. You know, you kiss too wet, and no one in my hometown liked you. Like, the end.
Yeah.
I don't want to work in a nail salon. The end. Yeah. Just be honest.
Just say, like, I was kind of, yeah, I sort of liked you at the beginning, and I wanted the America to think that, like, there was something there, but then I kind of realized, like, it wasn't, but I kind of kept pretending because it's a TV show, bitch.
Yeah, and she's like, why would you take me out of town to do that? Like, why would you make me go on a trip and then dump me? And he's like, well, look, I've been there twice. I just keep getting flown all around the world and then dumped, okay? At least you got a trip. I mean, did you buy a keychain at the airport? Because if you didn't, that's your loss.
Yeah.
So then the Indian lady started going off on him, and she's like, what I don't understand is, why would you choose against what you said you were looking for? And they're like, yeah, Nick. She's like, you know, you said you wanted a strong woman and girls who stood up to you and that said I loved you. And then people who were strong and said I love you, you sent them right home. Like, I expected more empathy from you. Oh, wow. Shut up.
Yeah. And then he was just like, well, yeah, I guess that's just like how it works. You know, that's just love. Like, you just like, I guess, you know, just get surprised. But who you pick and who you send home.
And she's
sorry.
And she's like, well, thank you for that. It's like, okay. Yeah. So then Big Mouth Kristen, she's like, you fell in love. You said you fell in love twice, and I hope this time you found love. And he's like, well, I can't tell you because this finale still has to air, stupid. She's like, I hope you found love, Nick. Oh, thanks, Kristen. Thanks. She's like, do you have anything I could put in the blogs? Anything at all? So Chris, they show some bloopers, which on this show are like, oh my God, a tree fell down. That's crazy. Oh, it's a bee on a girl. Wow.
Yeah, I hate that part. I didn't write any notes down. I just wrote then bloopers.
Well, it was good that Corinne is constantly farting and blaming other people.
And Taylor. She's like, I ate something weird. My God, girls fart.
And the part where they were showing Raven shoving cheese in Corinne's mouth.
That was funny.
Piece after piece. And she's like, you got to use your jaws, honey. That's what the rodents do. And she's like, do you think I'll win now? I really want that rose.
So now it's time for Rachel to come out.
She was announced in the weirdest way. Chris goes, hey, America. You've been asking for it, so here it is. A black woman is the bachelorette. Like, what?
I know.
Is there, like, a message board that's like, black bachelorette? What a weird way to introduce somebody. My God.
It is. It's, I mean, they are so focused on her race.
Yeah, well, white people. So she comes out and she's basically perfect for this job. She says nothing of substance.
Right.
And just that, you know, I'm looking for love and like something real. And, you know, I'm going to be looking really deeply at deep things of realness, of first impressions. So she'll be fine. But God, is she boring. They better get some hilarious guys because she's boring as hell.
So boring. And she's like, I can't believe that in like 6 weeks, I'm going to have a ring on my finger because I've never had one. Like I'm pretty sure that that's not like the whole goal of being engaged. Just like, I just want a ring. I haven't had a ring before.
It is. That's literally all they care about. It's weird. It makes me uncomfortable that we're still at this place in our world.
I agree. Well, how about the fact that Chris is like, okay, obviously history is being made. You're our first black bachelorette. Weren't you like, are we back to calling people black? I mean, this was my first thought. I'm like, okay, I thought we're supposed to be calling people African American, but I thought you can call somebody black if you have a real relationship with them, let's say, and they refer to themselves as black, but she doesn't, because the next thing she says is she's like, yeah, I'm African American.
Well,
it's like, okay, then maybe he shouldn't have been, can somebody have asked her? Like, are you okay with that? If he's just like, I don't know.
I don't understand why it's still so delicate. It's like people don't know any black people. I mean, come on.
Well,
it's just so weird to me that everyone's like, oh my God, it's a black person. What country are you people living in?
Well, I agree.
No one has ever seen a black person before. And they're like, how should you talk to the black person? I mean, I'm not giving you shit, but I just mean in general, we're like, what terms do we use and what this do we use? Oh my God, we're all just people. We've all known minorities and black people our whole lives. It's the weirdest thing
for them to act like it's this.
He's like, well, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but now it's called The Black Bachelorette starring black lady. She's like,
well, that's
oh,
what
good.
I mean. I can't understand. I can't see how that couldn't make a person uncomfortable when you're just constantly going, you know, you're black, right? Like, this is so crazy because you're black.
I think it's just kind of normal. Well, it is history making, so there's that. So he's patting himself on the back for that. I know it shouldn't be, but it is. Like, that is the world we live in.
Right, but it's like you have to being keep a gay reminding guy her when that...
My friends will always say, oh, that's my gay friend, Ronnie. Like, that's just how you're known. Like, people separate themselves by how they identify or whatever, which, you know, we could talk a whole episode about that. But Chris is the whitest person in the world, and this show is the whitest show in the world. And so,
well, I think that's why
watching
them
pat themselves on the back for casting a black person when they should have done that. I mean, this is what episode season, it's going to be season 13 of The Bachelorette, and it's season 40 something of all Bachelors combined. I mean, come on, guys.
Well, I think that's what makes me almost slightly uncomfortable about like him going like, you're a black girl, because it's like, well, you're fine. It's almost like he's congratulating himself. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, he is.
Because I put one on my show.
Yeah, he is.
It's like, so now you can say like, you can call her black and you can constantly refer to her as a black girl when that's not even how she, I don't know. It felt disrespectful or something to me.
Well, they're very proud of themselves. That's for sure.
Yes.
They're very like, we did it. There's a black person here. There's a black person here. The Black Bachelorette. I can't wait. Do you know Felicia Rashad? God, I loved her in The Cosby Show. I'm like, oh, geez, Chris.
Yes, that's what it was feeling like to me.
He's like, are you pro or against Mariah Carey? It's like, oh, geez.
I just felt like, do we have to, every single time she's in a scene, we have to bring up the fact that she's black.
Yeah. He's like, just like you saw last season on Empire, there's a black person here. Shut up, Chris.
Right.
I'm excited to see her season. I'm not excited to see her because she, I think, is really boring. But I am excited to see the season because it's more about who they surround themselves with, you know?
Yes.
So let's see, or who they are surrounded by with, not who they surround themselves with. But anyway, guys, that brings us to the end. We love you. Fun episode. We'll be back next week for the finale.
Yay!
Love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.